Inhale. I could pick out plenty of low quality garbage on TikTok, say this is what's on TikTok and that's why TikTok is bad, just as easily as I could cherry pick high quality stuff and say this is what's on TikTok and that's why TikTok is great. I know saying anything negative about TikTok gets me branded as old, so let me pull out a reference that's even older than me. Sturgeon's Law, 90% of everything is crap. That's not the problem. I don't hate people or content on TikTok. I hate TikTok. We should all make that sort of distinction. We should treat technology platforms as tools people use, rather than gatherings of people. When you let a platform become a place, and then your place, it feels like your home, and now it has a hook in you. I don't know if people still have a feeling of a home for them. I won't bore you with mine, but I'll say that even now NWS feels right and NSFW feels weird. So what, you may say. Cultures emerge, something-something diversity etc. Microcosms of culture are all well and good. But that's not what's happening on modern social media. Every interaction with other people is mediated through an algorithm that sorts you into a group of like-minded people, and shields you from dissent. An account on a website is not membership in a community, it's placement within a market segment. I'd argue the acronym NWS counts as slang. We might know some TikTok slang, how about the euphemism unalive? It's a subcategory of slang called algo speak. Saying the word murder worries platform owners that you'll offend the delicate sensibilities of shareholders, so TikTok censors the concepts they don't want you to discuss. At the risk of starting an internet argument, censorship is bad, and stopping you from saying something is censorship. We are witnessing censorship, and pitiful attempts to circumvent it, right now. If you have something to say about some unfavorable topic, perhaps the Tiananmen Square massacre, yet you feel attached to TikTok like it was your home. You dance around the topic to fly under the radar of the censors. In doing so, you're self-censoring. Imagine if TikTok had some way to ask you if you're interested in the current trending thing, like Twitter's trending topics. Now imagine that there's an approaching protest for an extradition bill, but ByteDance doesn't want you mentioning it. The meme would be to instead say something boring, like, tax return extension. Spreading awareness is not going to happen. But people perform the meme because what they care about is their fame on TikTok. A place is made for you, and all it asks is that you let them have your speech. In the tech sector, the way to make money is to blatantly do something evil and call it innovation. Have you heard the most irritating phrasal template, as a service? Minimal version for any grass-touching griddle critters, when you make some software thing for people there is inevitably a technology stack, like this one. You would buy these things, and then have them. What a concept! What if you gave money to the vendor, repeatedly forever, and then they didn't give you the networking, storage, servers, or virtualization? Let them handle all that for you. That's infrastructure as a service. What if you were on a higher tier of this infinite payment model, and also the vendor didn't let you touch the operating system, any middleware, or the runtime? Let them handle all that for you. That's a platform as a service. What if your subscription was a bit more expensive, and they owned your data and applications, too? Let them handle all that for you. That's software as a service. Generally, the allure is that it's lower startup cost and outsourced complexity. Sure, you can't take your stuff elsewhere, but as long as they never alter the deal, the math works out. The problem is, as ever, conflicting incentives. You want to build a thing that makes money elsewhere, but the platform wants to make money from you. So if you want to connect technology, build off each other, of course the platform wants to jump in the way and charge you for it. That's what it does. Notice, once a platform owner has its hooks in you, you own less and less. In the past, there have been game mods that spawned genres of video games. You'd better believe that if you try that again, the game's publisher will be taking ownership of that idea from you, thank you very much. Twitter users have been complaining about how it's dead, for real this time, for the majority of its existence. A constant cycle of the platform finding new ways to suck, people threatening to leave, and then not leaving. If you're a Twitter executive, the message is clear: people will accept whatever you do to them, as long as you're slow enough. YouTube has the same pattern. Its history is a litany of shifting creators' AdSense money over to copyright squatters, while encouraging worse and worse content. Twitch, the company built on South Korean StarCraft streamers which pulled out of Korea because it's too expensive, might as well send everyone a handwritten note to say leave our platform. No one will. It's the classic problem. On YouTube, people view Rumble as a place filled with undesirable exiles. Twitchists and ex-people make up reasons for themselves to view the users of their platform's rivals as their own enemies. When you think of yourself not as a creator of static video content, but rather as a YouTuber, YouTube rests on that loyalty. That's way easier than doing anything to implement moderation features like what Twitch has. All they have to do is let you tell yourself there's barbarians at the gates. If you have the inexplicable addiction to Twitter that the world seems to have, you won't dream of being able to post 1,024 characters at a time like we've been doing on Mastodon this whole time. Or you might say something dumb like, to make it easier for you to rationalize something else dumb, like, without realizing that a communication network doesn't have to be centralized under one man's stock portfolio, so you don't have to worry if he starts leaning hard into fascism. What if, rather than platform barons trying to take everything they can from you, they spent that effort trying to take from each other? We could feed rate them together, but I'll spare you a second episode of Fediverse evangelism. You know what was federated well before the Fediverse was built? Email. Servers talk to each other, your email address is you at server. Amazing. There's a reason that happened. Socially well-adjusted normal people were forced to use email. To help them understand, they were told it's like writing a letter. So manager types of the world overall decided that the custom in email land is to add pointless bullshit before and after every single message. Jonathan Doe, MD, ESQ Chief Assistant to the Executive Administrative Assistant of Regional Internal Officers. Hello, H. Berger. I hope this missive finds you well. Tech Solutions Technology Solutions. Bumfuck, Iowa. Visit us at clownpenis.fart. Call us at 555-777-7777 extension 1497-01. Connect with us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Snapchat, OnlyFans, Tinder, Grindr, during June, WeChat, WhatsApp, send us an email. Disclaimer, the content of this message is protected by Magic Legal Incantation 21497 subsection 12408. By having an email address that receives this email, you agree to waive your right to a trial by your peers, now and in perpetuity. Begone and a pox upon thy house, hyper-litigator. Hello again, H. Berger. Thank you for sending me an electronic mail. It has come to my attention that you aren't using official company letterhead. This is unprofessional and reflects poorly on our corporate image. Please rectify this immediately. That's based on a true story? A common one, surely. Unfortunately, people think of that as a story typical of email, and treat email accordingly. But the technology is irrelevant. That's a story typical of communication with soulless business husks. Nevertheless, rest in peace, email. Greatness squandered. You and I could send one-word emails. We could email memes. But its association with the workplace chains it to miserable connotations. Speaking of technologies associated with cufflink wearing motherfuckers, Bluetooth headsets. If you're constantly talking on a phone, it's more efficient. However, they were indelibly marked with the reputation of making you look like a douche. And that's a very honest statement, It makes you look like you're one of those people spending 8 megs per message trying to get your email to cosplay as custom stationery. And to be fair, getting people to tolerate wearable technology is an uphill battle. How many generations was it before we decided to stop making fun of people for wearing glasses? Even then, not because they're miraculous vision-improving technology, only because someone who wears glasses doesn't do so by choice. I've described myself as an information era relic. The advent of the internet promised sharing information. Arguably it did. But what nerds don't realize is that normal people don't spend their time giving or receiving information. Case in point, Stack Overflow. Stack Overflow is, or perhaps, was, the last bastion of practice on the internet. Forever, idiots would say just Google it to any question. Having never thought or had questions themselves, they assume Google knows everything and will tell you. What they forget is that what Google does is search, so most of the time what you're searching for doesn't exist. 99% of the time someone says just Google it, the results are old forum posts where someone says just Google it. Stack Overflow was building the reference. You know, the point of the internet? The information that we're all now connected to? The Google results. But asterisk every single time asterisk someone brings up Stack Overflow, people come out of the woodwork to tell on themselves. It has a reputation for gatekeeping, because it's meritocratic. People complain about needing points to act, but the fact that they don't understand why you need points on Stack Overflow does not inspire confidence that they understand whatever they intend to contribute to it. People who refuse to assimilate but insist the world should bend to them cannot understand this. It has a reputation for being toxic, with people who expect their authority to be axiomatic. To these, it's not about writing the record. It's about building their self-image, relegating any external effects to at most an afterthought. Stack Overflow is building something. Something to be referenced. That concept is lost on people whose only metric is number of eyeballs watching ads, observe this dogshit take. A smarter person would understand, less new questions means the project is finishing its goal. However, again, the AI faithful have no concept of concepts. Stack Overflow is correct, because users understand concepts. But for this so-called engineer, that's inconceivable. It ChatGPT writes more words on the subject, looks good enough to me. Notice two more points. 1. He does not understand the concept of sharing information. He only measures the practice of asking and answering. Stack Overflow questions get marked as duplicate, frequently. Because the question has already been asked and answered. 2. He imagines moderators as a cabal of gatekeepers stifling him, when it's the community at large that rejects him. I don't know why he says sadly. He doesn't want reference to learn from, he wants a sycophant to save him from learning. The way he thinks of Stack Overflow is like if he went to Wikipedia, but only talk pages, where he asked about the information in the regular article. Wenger, via Rugnetta, presents a fascinating, albeit generous, idea. The way people work is to have a practice, then form a social tribe related to that practice. But what happens when there is no practice? Stack Overflow is about the development of software. But for imbeciles, development isn't real, so it's a space where developers hang out. Bluetooth headsets aren't viewed as a better solution to voice communication, they're a fashion accessory that signifies lifestyle. Email isn't thought of as a way to send text between machines, it's treated as an official communication channel where your boss talks at you. The Fediverse allows you to free yourself and your social circle from the platform they happen to use, so it's incomprehensible to people who seek to build fame on a platform. Now, those who own the technology you use find themselves with leverage over you, for free. TikTok has the reputation of being the place where memes happen. That was derived from its previous reputation as being a place where everyone can go viral. But the comparative ease of going viral was because of manual intervention by ByteDance. They crafted exactly the community they wanted. And it was easy, they manually add heat to videos. So of course people took to TikTok. Rather than YouTube promoting some decrepit talk show skeletons disguising their financial investment in the abysmal status quo as frosty cold political takes, TikTok entices you by putting good-looking women up front. All you have to do is mute whatever terrible music they're dancing to. Its technology is actively trash. It's built on unapologetically, actively manipulating what you know about. And it's owned by a company with a history of doing so. Whenever someone self-censors with algo speak, they have given away their voice to their corporate overlord. If you indulge that sort of person, you give your attention to their corporate overlord, who in turn decides what they will allow you to see. I know, arguing censorship is bad, actually is an uphill battle, for some reason. So let me leave you with some quick examples. I know lots of people just add Reddit to every Google search they run to hopefully get actual people talking to each other, but I think people forget, Reddit has a proud history of fun and / or useful bots. The value of getting conversation from Reddit is that when someone says something stupid, someone else can tell them they're stupid. Is Atomic Wallet open source? Some brain-dead Mark Dron says, and then a person can have a comment right under them saying that's not what words mean. Because while Reddit loves brands shifting from follow us on Facebook to join our subreddit, Redditors might have some unprofitable things to say. Contrast this with YouTube trying to algorithmically add context. I can think of a case where this is tantalizingly close to being useful. People are constantly asking Kyle Hill about his hair, and he generally has two useful points. One is go to the place where hair experts are, and a second one is use argan oil. What's argan oil? Here's someone who calls herself Dr. Dre. No relation to the warrior poet, I assume. YouTube adds context. Yes, Dr. Dre is a doctor, licensed in the US, but that's it. How much nutritional quackery is perpetrated by Dr. Phil, who is a doctor of psychology? Not to mention chiropractors. If that little information bar showed me what Dr. Dre is a doctor of, that would be very useful. Check it out, a nice link to the Texas Medical Board affirming her credentials. Went to her website, she practices in Texas, googled the Texas Medical Board, punched in her name, easy. For a platform like YouTube, that rigor is hard. And why bother? Viewers aren't supposed to click the link, you're just supposed to see that YouTube put it there, so you can feel reassured that you can trust that YouTube is both telling people the truth, and tolerating unfavorable speech. Their system isn't great at this. Here's Eric doing a whole video mocking HARP conspiracies. The context Google adds is for climate change. Close, but they have a card for HARP. Leading to an amusing screenshot of a HARP video mocking another HARP video that has the HARP card. Given a different card. Keep the cards in mind. YouTube also prevents videos from being posted. There's a great metal remix of Kenneth Copeland blowing a divine wind, I reposted that, and my account will carry a mark with it forever for medical misinformation. Despite no information, wrong or otherwise, medical or otherwise, being in the video. And that is why YouTubers Voldemorted the pandemic, it would be suppressed. Meanwhile, the context cards are a way for YouTube to demonstrate condemnation of a message, give themselves credit for not censoring, and let viewers believe it's easy to circumvent any censorship efforts, while censoring. YouTubers, of course, obey the rules. Success is not communicating a communication to their community. What matters is their profitability on the platform. They pass the buck to the algorithm. We'd love to mention forbidden topics, but the algorithm won't let us. The platform owners are people who would easily understand the situation, but they don't plan on that level of intervention. They build the platform to run itself. We'd love to handpick what gets suppressed and what gets proliferated, but there's too much, the algorithm handles it. To post any review on Amazon, it has to be approved by Amazon. Whenever you post a review on the Google Play Store, it reserves the last word for the app's owner, which is usually a form letter and a link to their FAQ. Remember when Bethesda advertised a canvas bag and delivered a nylon bag? First move, they sent an email that effectively said caveat emptor, bitch. Second move, they blamed material supply. How many times have we seen a company get called out by an influencer for some reason or another, then they immediately move to fix it, as a one-off, for that influencer? Mere mortals like you and I. We get an algorithm built into the platform, serving only economic incentives. The algorithm will decide. In 1939, the Grapes of Wrath talked about the bank. Our monster is the algorithm. Like a capricious dark god, its wrath is unpredictable and its favor is unreliable. Its only directive, sacrifice for the shareholders.